Today, volatility, rinse and repeat. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. It's another week and more volatility, as fears over AI investment profiles and wildfire AI disruption rippled across sectors including insurance brokers, wealth advisors, real estate services and logistics. Conflicting economic indicators also amplified uncertainty, although in the end gold remained a buttress against the storm. The global MSCI index was flat for the week, while the All Countries Asia excluding Japan rose 1.91%, and after the Japan election, the Nikkei was up 4.95% for the week, though down 1.21% on Friday. The Australian share market fell on Friday as fears of AI-driven overinvestment and disruption to software companies triggered broad selling, and the ASX 200 index was 1.4% lower, with 9 of the 11 sectors down, although the benchmark did gain 2.4% for the week. European shares ended down slightly as well amid the AI concerns. The pan-European Stoxx 600 closed 0.13% lower, though it capped a turbulent week with a marginal gain of just 0.09%. And US equity markets closed mixed, almost entirely closing their morning advances as the halo from January's consumer price data faded and investors positioned for a three-day break. US markets will be closed on Monday for a holiday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.1% to 49,500. The S&P 500 rose 0.05% to 6,835. And the Nasdaq Composite fell 0.22% to 22,546 for the week. The S&P shed 1.4%. The Dow fell 1.2%. And the Nasdaq was down 2.1%. But gold futures were up 1.98% on Friday at 5,046. As soft inflation data supported hopes for Fed rate cuts and for some safe haven demand after reports that said Washington planned to deploy a second aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, in the Middle East as nuclear talks with Iran faltered. Silver was at $77.96 and Brent oil at $67.73, but that was down slightly for the week. In New York, a 2.6% rise in utility stocks paced 7 of the S&P 500 industry groups higher, but communication services and information tech were the two laggards. Apple shed another 2%, taking its five-day drop to 8%. Nvidia also fell 2%. What's particularly striking is how quickly the AI fear trade has metastasized across sectors. Logistics companies saw sharp declines, with publishers, financial services firms, and even commercial real estate companies also finding themselves caught in the downdraft as investors assess which business models might be vulnerable to AI disruption. The Dow, though, was boosted by Nike, United Health, and Walt Disney, helping to offset losses at Visa, Nvidia, and Apple. Oh, and the Pentagon briefly listed Alibaba and Baidu as firms aiding China's military. Both companies are potential key customers for Nvidia. Investors are getting more discriminating in AI stock selection. For example, Applied Materials stocks surged after the company announced an upbeat forecast underlying how the AI boom and memory chip shortages was bolstering sales. That's the largest US semiconductor equipment maker, of course. But Hyperscale Data fell 12.8% in after-hours trading on Friday following the company's announcement of an at-the-market equity offering program for its preferred stock. The AI data center company, which also focuses on Bitcoin operations, revealed plans to sell shares of its 13% Series D cumulative redeemable perpetual preferred stock for gross proceeds of around $35.4 million. Oh, and in passing, it's worth noting that data centers now account for 7% of US electricity demand and is rising fast. Elsewhere, Pinterest stock tumbled after the image sharing platform forecast first quarter revenue below estimates as it battles sharper cutbacks in ad spending by tariff-hit retailers and mounting pressure from deep-pocketed rivals. But Airbnb gained after the vacation rental firm beat quarterly revenue estimates and pointed to continued travel demand. US economic data was mixed this week, although the probability of a rate cut in June rose to near 70% from 62% the previous day. Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago President Austin Goolsbee, though, said that inflation needed to cool further for rates to fall. Right now, we are not on a path back to 2%. We're kind of stuck at 3%, and that's not acceptable. According to the US Bureau of Labor Statistics, headline consumer price index, the CPI, rose 2.4% year-on-year in January. That was below the consensus of 2.5% and de-accelerating from December's 2.7% reading. The core CPI, which excludes food and energy, increased 2.5% on an annual basis, in line with estimates. On a month-on-month basis, headline CPI rose 0.2%, just below the estimates of 0.3%. Shelter costs, which makes up a third of the index, rose just 0.2% for the month, bringing the annual increase down to 3%, and egg prices fell 7% in January and are now down 34% over the past year after their earlier surge. The data followed a surprisingly strong US employment report on Wednesday, where the unemployment rate unexpectedly fell to 4.3% from 4.4%, indicating continued resilience in the labour market. But the data is actually quite full of revisions, so it's hard to read. The Fed last month left its benchmark overnight interest rate at 3.5 to 3.75%, of course. The bigger picture, therefore, is still complicated. GDP is growing at 3.7%, which is strong, but the labour market only added 15,000 jobs per month last year. Consumer confidence is at a 12-year low, even though spending has held up. We've got cooling inflation, solid growth, but a jobs market that barely is creating positions, and consumers who feel worse than the headline numbers suggest. The Fed is probably on hold until June, but they're navigating, well, mixed signals at best. US Treasury yields eased, with the 10-year down to 4.049%, having fallen around 20 basis points in the last 10 days. And the US dollar was nearly flat against other currencies, although Bitcoin was sharply higher, gaining 4.94% to 69,857. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, fell 0.03% to 96.88, with the euro down just a little at 1.1869, and against the Japanese yen, the dollar strengthened just a little to 152.69. Aluminium prices sank to a one-week low before cutting their losses. Weighing on the price was a Financial Times report that US President Donald Trump plans to scale back some tariffs on steel and aluminium goods. Year in, it's pretty clear that US households and businesses are actually paying the full tariff costs. New York Fed study data using granular trade data confirmed the picture, and it understates the impact since it doesn't consider domestic producers hiking their prices as foreign costs rise. Some suggest this may cause Trump to wind back tariffs further ahead of the midterms. We'll see as we await the court judgment on whether tariffs as imposed are actually illegal. Oil prices settled up slightly. Brent crude futures rose 23 cents to settle at $67.73 a barrel, while US West Texas Intermediate crude gained just a little to settle at $60.89. Latest forecasts are for excess production in the months ahead, which suggest lower prices, external political events apart. A capital expenditure cut by an AI hyperscaler is the most obvious catalyst to reverse significantly the market's rotation from AI or to AI poor, according to Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett. In the bigger picture, they note major rotations are underway. The correlation between Japan's yen and the TOPIX has flipped positive for the first time since 2005, a dynamic the strategists say historically aligns with secular bull markets. European stocks traded in a mixed fashion on Friday as investors adjusted more quarterly earnings as well as an overnight slide in US technology shares ahead of the regional growth data. The DAX index in Germany climbed 0.2%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK rose 0.4%, while the CAC 40 in France dropped 0.4%. There were more corporate earnings for investors to weigh through on Friday. NatWest Group reported a 24% jump in its annual profit, slightly ahead of forecast, and the lender set out more ambitious performance targets as it expands in Britain's costly but potentially lucrative wealth management market. Norsk Hydro posted fourth quarter earnings above expectations as surging aluminium prices offset weakness in the Norwegian aluminium producers' downstream operations. And French IT services group Capgemini reported full-year revenue that beat its own target, driven by accelerating fourth quarter growth as its recently bought WNS unit fueled demand for, guess what, AI-powered business process services. French aerospace group Safran forecast increased revenue and earnings for 2026 after boosting profitability last year on the back of strong aftermarket demand for its civil jet engines. And data released earlier on Friday showed that German wholesale prices rose 1.2% in January compared to the same month last year. In the UK, it's widely expected that the UK Labour government will turn left as a result of its leadership crisis. Yet, in the last 18 months under Starmer and Reeves, public spending and borrowing have already escalated alarmingly. A left turn in economic policy would make public finances even worse. And as Albert Edwards noted, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the UK gilt market is sitting on a bed of nitroglycerine. That's Bill Gross's quote. The market has settled down since the November budget, but public borrowing has gone out of control with a weak Starmer and Reeves unable to rein it in. Sell in May, he said. Oh, and the 10-year gilt was last at 4.424, with weak growth reported this week. Prime Minister Keir Starmer is set to propose a joint defence procurement plan to Western allies at the Munich Security Conference this weekend. That's according to the Financial Times. The proposal aims to reduce rearmament costs through coordinated weapons purchasing. Starmer will advocate for deeper defence cooperation during his Saturday speech and in private meetings with other leaders at the three-day event. UK Defence Secretary John Healey announced that the UK and allies would pledge up to $35 billion in new military aid to Ukraine. This aid aims to strengthen Ukraine air defences following massive Russian airstrikes on energy infrastructure and civilian targets. The commitments were made after a coordination meeting in Brussels on Thursday, as Europe continues supporting Ukraine while Moscow's invasion approaches its four-year mark. Meanwhile, Bank of England chief economist Hugh Pill said on Friday that UK consumer price inflation is falling, but not at the pace officials had hoped for. Progress with disinflation is ongoing, but it's not quite as rapid as we might have hoped, he said. Most Asian stock markets rose through the week, with South Korea surging to a record high on Thursday on sharp gains in chip makers, while Japanese shares traded lower on Friday after touching a fresh record peak above 58,000 points earlier in the week amid the Takeuchi trade optimism. In Seoul, the Kospi index again extended a rally driven by artificial intelligence-linked semiconductor demand. Samsung Electronics soared more than 6% to record highs this week after a senior executive highlighted the company's technology edge in next generation HBM4, that's high bandwidth memory chips, fueling optimism over its production roadmap and competitiveness in advanced AI memory solutions. Investors have increasingly bet that HBM4 will underpin the next leg of AI hardware growth, supporting margins and earnings visibly. Shares in SK Hynix also climbed 3.5%, riding expectations of sustained demand for premium memory chips used in AI servers. But of course, the question is, what about those previous generation of chips? How soon will they need to be depreciated? And what is the financial impact of that? Nobody's talking about it. They should. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 rose above 58,000 points for the first time earlier in the week, marking a fresh record high before appearing gains later. The broader topics also jumped 1.5% to an all-time high of 3,888 before retreating. The rally has partly been attributed to the so-called Takeuchi trade optimism following Prime Minister Takeuchi's election victory. DOC investors have welcomed her pro-growth stance, including policies aimed at supporting domestic industry, boosting defence spending and maintaining accommodative financial conditions, which are seen as supportive for exporters and cyclical stocks. China's blue-chip Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 Index and the Shanghai Composite Index both were down a bit, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index slipped over 1% on Friday and India's Nifty 50 fell 1.3%. The Australian share market fell on Friday as fears of AI-driven overinvestment and disruption to software companies triggered broad selling. The ASX 200 dropped 1.4% to 8,917, with 9 of the 11 sectors lower. The benchmark gained 2.4% for the week, though. Concerns that AI could erode software companies' margins have seen the ASX tech sector shed 23% of its value over the past month. WiseTech Global fell 10.4% to $40.62 on Friday, Zero by 4.5% to $73.49, and Technology One a 7.1% fall to $20.17. Morningstar market strategist Lachlan Holloway says the so-called SaaS-acopolics has been building for months, with AI threatening every variable in the software as a service model, seats, modules, and price. Gold recovered some losses after a sharp sell-off in the previous session, as dip buyers snapped up the metal ahead of key US inflation data. Northern Star fell 3.5% to $28.37, Newmont 1.9% down to $169.12, and Genesis Minerals 4.6% lower to $6.87. Banks saw profit taking after recent gains. Commonwealth Bank dropped 1.4% to $126.20, National Australia Bank fell 1.1% to $46.01, and Westpac dropped 1.2% to $40.52. as its net interest margin shrank despite a better-than-expected $1.9 billion profit. ANZ rose 1.3% though to $4.89 after a Morgan Stanley upgrade, while AMP jumped 9% to $1.39, following its biggest rebound in over 20 years, and Macquarie was at $216.17. Austel plunged 22.8% to $4.87 after cutting the financial year 26 and its guidance by 18% to $210 million following a financial error. Cochlear fell 18.9% to $109.22 after a 21% drop in net profit to $162 million and flagged full year profit at the lower end of the $435 to $460 million guidance. Webjet tumbled 25.2% to 58 cents after ending takeover talks with Hello World and BGH Capital, and trimmed underlying financial year 26 EBITDA guidance to $28 to $29 million, excluding Webjet Business Travel. GQG Partners rose 7.8% to $1.73 on a slight beat on second half distributional earnings, as funds under management rose 10.8% to $164.3 billion US dollars in 2025. And Nick Scali fell 22.3% to $18.48 as weaker than expected sales in Australia and New Zealand offset strong UK results. The Aussie was at 70.72 US cents and 51.79 UK pence, and the 10-year Aussie bond was at 4.714. Bitcoin halted a four-day losing streak on Friday, rising nearly 4% and avoiding four weekly losses, running for the first time since November 2025. It was last at 69,694, as the token has struggled to find sustained upward momentum this week after bouncing off earlier lows, pulling back towards last week's support level of around 60,000 US. The US Commodity Futures Trading Commission has appointed several leading cryptocurrency executives to its newly formed Innovation Advisory Committee, underscoring the agency's expanding role in overseeing digital asset markets. The committee is tasked with advising on emerging technologies such as blockchain and artificial intelligence as they intersect with derivatives and crypto markets. The move comes as US authorities work to clarify regulatory oversight of digital assets, with the CFCT widely expected to play a central role in shaping future crypto market rules. World number two crypto Ethereum was up 5.4% to $2,077. Below the waterline, though, believers are still believers, with Michael Saylor, the chairman of Strategy, and a Bitcoin pitchman, of course, on Strategy's $7 billion plus Bitcoin losses, saying if Bitcoin falls 90% for the next 4 years, we'll refinance the debt. We'll just roll it forward. Oh, that sounds great, doesn't it? Others point to sustained ETF selling and support at the 60,000 US level, as the cost of mining is around that point. But it's more a question of liquidity. If more institutional money quits, Bitcoin could certainly fall further for now. Next week, the RBA will release its latest policy meeting minutes on Tuesday. On Wednesday, there's the fourth quarter wage price index, and January's jobs report will be delivered on Thursday. New Zealand policymakers meet on Wednesday, while the Fed will release its latest meeting minutes on Wednesday in the US. And on Friday, the US will release both fourth quarter GDP and PCE prices. Finally, talking of believers, in the note, Wedbush Securities' Dan Ives argues that investors should not lose faith in tech. The last few days has seen some rough and nervous days for tech investors as a risk-off rally on tech AI stalwart names has put some clear concerns in this tech bull market, despite seeing eye-popping results from various leaders in the AI revolution, including Google's parent Alphabet, Meta, and Palantir, among others. It's still very early days in the AI revolution, he says. Well, all up, it's more uncertainty ahead as markets feel their way into 2026, but just pause to remember that in all of this volatility, the big financial players are making billions. Ordinary investors are somewhat being left on the side. This is the time to be really cautious. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Hey, thanks for watching. I'll see you again next time.